This past Tuesday here at Epiphany, we started school. And for those places around Minnesota who haven't started school yet, they'll be starting probably this upcoming Tuesday after Labor Day. College kids are returning to campus. High schoolers are arriving. Teachers are getting ready to teach. And as they teach their students, they're going to be handing out homework and returning grades. But when a teacher starts grading a student's work, they don't do it to shame the student. They don't do it to point out that the student is a bad person because they got a point off or they got a B or a C. They assign a grade to homework or to tests or to papers to help the student grow. They assign grades to point out where the student has made a mistake and where they can improve upon. It's not a condemnation of the student themselves. Only a bad student or a disordered student would put their whole identity in their grades. I got a B. I'm less good of a person. I'm less worthy of love. That would be wrong for a student to look at themselves based on their grades. Teachers are trying to help them grow and help them learn and improve when they mark points off on homework. Today in our readings, our first reading from Ezekiel and then in our gospel and in our psalm, we hear about corrections, people correcting others, pointing out mistakes or pointing out wrongs that these people are doing. Ezekiel speaks of the watchmen going to warn people to save their lives and save his own life in the process. And Christ tells us that when someone sins against us, we should go to them. And then if they don't change, we bring others with us. And if they don't change after that, to go to the church. But how do we respond when we are the ones being corrected? When you and I have something pointed out to us by another or by the church, how do we respond? Do we dig in our heels and say, no, I'm going to keep on doing this, I'm going to keep on living this way? Or do we try to change and grow? Do we see the other person as attacking us, as saying we're less because we do something else, or we're less lovable because we think a certain way? That shouldn't be our response. When people, when the church especially, offers correction, it's to try to help us to live well. We should find what we are doing if we're living not in accordance with the truth and try to change. And if there are ways that we're ignorant of the truth, maybe through no fault of our own, we should be grateful when others try to help us because they're trying to help us live well. Psalm 141, this is the very first psalm in the cycle of psalms for the liturgy of the hours that all priests and religious pray. The very first psalm, the first psalm of week one, is Psalm 141. And in this psalm, the psalmist writes, "If a good man strikes me or reproves me, it is kindness. If a good man strikes me or reproves me, it is kindness." Because to come into contact with the truth is good, and we shouldn't be offended, or we shouldn't take it personally, we shouldn't be upset if somebody says, I want you to live better, I want you to live in accordance with the truth. And this is one of the reasons why all priests and religious throughout the entire world start with this psalm, reminding ourselves that we should be humble and docile, looking to grow and correct those parts of our lives where we might be falling short. We should all desire to root out any sins or areas of dissent in our lives where we try to say, I want to live this way, and I don't care how other people, what other people say. I don't care what the church says. I'm choosing to dig in my heels in my sin or in my dissent. But the problem here is sin is opposed to love. Sin and love are directly opposed. And if we stay rooted in our sin, if we stay even ignorant of our sin and keep those habits, we will be rooted in a state that is opposed to love. We will be rooting ourselves in a state that is opposed to God, who is love. Christ says in our gospel today, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. So we should be careful the ways we live on earth, because when we die, we do not change. The state of our soul when we die is the state that it will go to God. We don't all of a sudden, if we have no charity in our soul, if we have no love because of mortal sin, we don't all of a sudden receive charity. It's like in Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, when Regis Philbin says, do you want to lock this in? And they say, I'm locked in. The amount of charity you have in your soul when you die is the amount of charity you will have in your soul when you go to meet God. Whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Our charity doesn't increase. If our charity is imperfect, if we love but we have other attachments or things we're holding on to, we'll go to purgatory to have those things purged and cleansed so that we can enter fully into heaven. But if we have no charity in this life, we will have no charity in the next. If we dig our heels in and have an attitude of, I will do what I want and nobody can change my mind, I don't care if they're trying to help me, I don't care what the truth is, it's my way or nothing. If we bind ourselves to this attitude in life, we will have this attitude when we die. Because when we die, we don't suddenly become another person. We're still ourselves. So we need to be careful about digging in and not accepting when people are trying to help us through correction, especially in the church. If we insist on our own way and build a habit of insisting on our own way in this life, we will continue to have that habit in the next. So all of us here at this Mass should pray for the grace of humility, for the grace of docility, to welcome correction from God and from the church in all of those ways where we might be not loving well. All of us sin. Every single person sins in some way. But we should all be trying to find those ways and root them out. And any ways that we're not living in accordance with the truth, to ask God for the grace to change, ask for the grace to have faith. That doesn't mean we have to understand perfectly everything that the church teaches. We don't have to understand everything. But to have the attitude of St. Peter, who said, Lord, to whom shall we go? I don't understand this, but I know you and I love you, so I will stay with you whether I understand or not. I will follow after you in humility. So let us all ask for the grace to follow Christ with humility, faith, and docility.